And now our reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And Andrew's going to come and share our talk now.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. In this season of Advent, we've got this renewed focus to look for your presence. Lord, help us to see you and to hear what you have for each one of us this morning. Amen. Wow. I wonder what it is like in your house just before your Christmas guests arrive. You've had the "we're on our way" WhatsApp or text, and all of a sudden, in many households, an extreme form of preparing the way kicks into action. It's not paths being straightened, but it's sofa cushions. It's kids' toys being pushed back into their right place. The Hoover gets press ganged into action. And if in your like anything like our house, you're looking for a hiding place for all those stuff and those things that you really must get round to sorting out one day. Now, I don't know if it's a uniquely British thing, but there's a real sense of kind of guilt and shame, isn't there, about not having a tidy house ready for your guests. But what if the guests weren't your family members? What if they were royal? What if it was not just any royalty coming to visit you, but the King of Kings? Because the opening verses of Mark's Gospel, Mark makes it really clear that the person who is on their way is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the anointed royal person, but more than any king, he's thoroughly divine as well. Enter John the Baptist, the first century equivalent of a WhatsApp group or social media page. And he's come to tell everyone that not only is God taking action to change the world in Jesus' arrival, but it requires something of them, that they need to get ready and put their houses in order. And as we journey through Advent as a season, we acknowledge a sort of double meaning, if you like, within this text, because we're remembering, obviously, Jesus' first arrival, but also holding on to that promise that he's going to one day return, and that we need to be ready for that moment too. And the preparation that John outlines is actually the same for both events. It has something to do with baptism. Now, if you were at our 10:30 service this morning, you would see the most perfect sermon illustration in the world as I baptise a little baby girl. Because in a baptism service, and I'm sure all of you have been to one somewhere along the line, you see all of these ideas that John the Baptist is talking about, and you also hear the difference that Jesus makes in a person's life as well. And there's a couple of key phrases in our scripture today that are really quite key to understanding all of this. And the first one is this, that John proclaims a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So let's look at that first word, repentance, because it's quite key. And again, many of you will know that the Greek word here that is translated as repentance means to turn around, a total 180 degree shift. And John's saying that what God is about to do is a world-changing thing in Jesus, and that we need to ensure that we've made that shift, that turnaround, to be ready for him. It means turning away from our old life a life where we perhaps live by our own rules, our own wants, and instead starting afresh over again, letting God's way of doing things set the direction for daily life. Now, part of that repentance is the forgiveness of sins. It's that acknowledgement for us all that if we're left to our own devices, we're often going to get it wrong. Part of the turnaround of repentance is acknowledging our own imperfections, but also that God offers total forgiveness and a fresh start. And Advent, again, as a season, it's a bit like Lent. It's an opportunity to work on areas of life with Jesus that we know that perhaps they're not quite in line with how Jesus does things. And we can ask God through daily prayers of confession to forgive us and to effect change in our lives. And it's clearly a powerful, powerful message to share, because we see in the text this struck a chord with people who heard it. It says people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. So they saw the need, but they also saw the grace of God. They saw the grace of God at work, washing away the old and offering them something new. Now, all this is so far so good, but if baptism was only about repentance, it's only going to ever bring us so far. It's one thing to acknowledge our failings and to receive forgiveness, but it's something else to live differently as a result. And that requires something more. Or more accurately, someone more is help. And of course, that person is the person of Jesus. And John acknowledges this. And this is interesting. This is right before Jesus has done a single thing. And John says, he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Because Jesus offers us more than forgiveness. He offers us the means of transformation and change. And that means of transformation and change is the Holy Spirit at work in my life and in yours. Now, the Holy Spirit, as we read elsewhere in Scripture, is of course the Spirit of Jesus. And for Christians, that is how we experience Jesus today, is through the Holy Spirit. And again, if you were at our 10:30 service watching me baptise this lovely little baby girl, you'll see me baptise her with water, but also with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's present throughout that liturgy. There's a prayer over the water. And I will pray for God to be present in that moment, that God would set apart the water by his Spirit for our use. And then immediately after the baptism, and this is perhaps a prayer that sometimes we can kind of almost miss, we have, I think, one of the most beautiful parts of the service. It's my favourite prayer. And this is, I pray this directly over whoever I've just baptised. "May God, who's received you by baptism into his church, pour upon you the riches of his grace, that you may be daily renewed by his anointing Spirit." You may be daily renewed by his anointing Spirit. See, Jesus offers us a new way to live as baptized people, but also the means by which to achieve this new way of life, his presence with us. And the Holy Spirit is with us every day to guide us, to help shape our thoughts and our actions, to help us be ready should Jesus return within our lifetime. I mean, to return to my house analogy and the guests, you know, after we've hidden the multitude of sins behind the sofa and made straight the cushions and everything else, we all know how easy it is for the house to go back to exactly the way it was before. And if you have children to help you, that can be within a matter of hours, right? Jesus' arrival was not just a prompt to tidy up, but it was the means to learn how to keep tidy afterwards. And that means, the tidying means, is the Holy Spirit, and it's available to each and every one of us. It's part of the beauty of the grace that God offers us, is that Jesus calls us to leave the old stuff behind, to tidy up, but he doesn't just leave us to get on with it. He doesn't say, "Okay, well done, off you go." He says, "I want to stay with you. I want to become a permanent help, a part of your daily life, to help you to keep the house tidy, to live in a different way, learning from the life of Jesus. This Advent, we have a whole host of resources designed to try and help you to do that this season. Each of them has been designed to help you spend time with Jesus and to allow him to be at work in you. If you haven't found them already, we've got daily readings on our website that you can download and enjoy a short piece of text and some short instructions of how to turn that into a short time of prayer and reflection. We were talking before the service started about our Advent podcast. Again, all designed to help you go deeper in prayer and in study. You see, the first arrival of Jesus has been and gone. And people got ready back then. They were baptized by John. They reoriented their lives. And the call on us in Advent is to do the same. As we await Jesus' return, we're to do just as those people did 2,000 years ago. Except we have the Holy Spirit with us. So it's not just about plumping the cushions or running a Hoover over quickly, but it's about a longer term invitation, an invitation of Jesus to work with him on keeping a tidier house in our lives. Let's pray.